Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. This is Baruch Hashem, my first year in Chodesh Elul. So this is very exciting. And it's Elul, what a better time to learn. Mishpacha had, I don't know if you saw over Shabbos, they had like different letters from different Rabbanim, Mechanchim, Mashkichim, to their Talmidim / children about Elul. And I just had my son yesterday. I was driving to Shiva Gadola yesterday afternoon, so I forgot which one it was. Someone went over to the Mashkiach or Shiva, I don't remember, and he was complaining about the food in the yeshiva. They just come back to yeshiva, was complaining about the food. And the Rav said, the food, it's Elul. How could you even think about the food? So Be'ezus Hashem, our learning should be a chus for all of us to be married in this Helig Avoda, Shmiras HaLashon, and Be'ezus Hashem, a kasiva v'chasima tova to all. Let us go to the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please. Yubara sh'olam yiratzim afanecha, al rachim v'chanan, sh'tizekeni hayim v'chol yam, lishmer piu, lishani mi lashon hara rechilis, ezar milidaber afilu alish yachid, v'kosh kenam kaisa. So as always, we are learning the Zecher Nishmaso and the Ilui Nishmaso, Tzvi Gershom, Ben Yovachana, Lov Hashem. May Hashem have a continuous Aliyah and Zechira Latova, the Zechus of these Divrei Torah that we share. Also is a Zechus Aliyah and Hashem for Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya. May Hashem also merit an Aliyah and Hashem. And finally, is a Zechus, with your permission, for continued Refuah for Bracha V'Gayel, Bas Rachel Geta Besoch Sh'ar Cholei Yisrael. So let us learn. So I just felt that I had to do something to address Chodesh Elul, but also keeping with the theme of Shmiras HaLashon, because that is our class learning, but it is Elul, it's Beis Elul, and we are quickly beginning to count down to the Yemei Hadin that is soon upon us. So I prepared a new shiur. I am going to begin by screen sharing one second. Everything is prepared. It took me a couple hours to prepare this shiur, so I did it yesterday. And I'm going to screen share with you. All right, let me just make sure the first source that I want is right here. Okay, coming back to you. Screen share. Here we go. Okay, so could everybody see that I'm in Sefer Devarim Perek Tazayin, the beginning of Parsha Shoftim? Yeah, okay, great. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiya B'Dvaro. Okay, so it's Parsha Shoftim. Parsha Shoftim, like Rabbi Soloveitchik says, is generally the first parsha read in Chodesh Elul, because everyone reads Devarim Erev Tisha B'Av. So whether we are here, Avos Chanan is always read after Tisha B'Av. So wherever you are here, Eretz Yisrael, the calendar is always the same at this time of year. Rabbi Soloveitchik brings out that Shoftim is the first parsha read in Chodesh Elul, which means it's not an accident, because even though this past Shabbos, you might say, well, this past Shabbos, it was the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, which means it was the last day of Av. It was Lamed Av. It was not Elul yet. So Shoftim is the first parsha generally almost always read in Chodesh Elul. So that's not an accident, because nothing in our calendar is an accident. So let's just look at the first psukim in Parsha Shoftim. I'm going to be starting with a word that we have said in the past that is kedai to repeat and remind yourselves of, but then using that as a springboard for many new sources today. So the pasuk begins with, remember, Moshe Rabbeinu's goodbye letter. Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu saying goodbye to the people that he has loved and led for 40 years. They are crossing the Yarden River, and Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, is not. Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha, judges and officers you shall place for yourself, b'chol shoracha, and all of your gates, asher Hashem alkecha nosein lecha, that Hashem your God gives you. So Moshe's focus is on the society that the people will build in Eretz Yisrael, lishvatecha, for your tribes, v'shaftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek, and they should judge the nation with a judgment of righteousness, lo satam mishpat, they shall not pervert or turn the judgment, lo sakir panim, they shall not show favoritism, lo tikach Shochad, they should not take bribery, because Shochad will cause the eyes of the wise to become blind, and it will corrupt, it will cause to turn the words of the righteous. So when one takes a bribe, nothing can be yashar anymore. And finally, the last pasuk we're going to look at, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, righteousness, justice, you shall pursue, man tiche, so that you shall live, v'yarash l'esha'art, but asher Hashem If you pursue justness and righteousness, and you appoint judges and officers, and you shall judge with righteousness, and you don't show favoritism, and you don't take bribery, you will live, and you will come to inherit the land that Hashem your God gives to you. So let us just look at some Rashi's. Shoftim v'shotim titeinecha, you see here on the screen, shoftim v'shotim, shoftim dayanim haposkim esedin. So what are the shoftim? They are the dayanim, they're either judges, they give the psak din, they say what the halacha is, they say how we paskin. V'shotim, what are the shoftim? Harodin esam achar mitzvasem, shemakin v'kovsim b'mako v'irtsu adshe kabalav esdin hashofe. The shoftim are the officers who enforce the judgment. It might need to be with a staff and with a strap until the people accept upon themselves the judgment of the judge. So the officer enforces the judgment that the judge has passed. B'chol sharach, what does it mean? You shall appoint judges and officers in all of your gates, b'chol ir v'ir, in each and every city. Remember, Moshe is telling them how to establish a society in the land where they are going. Lishvatacha, musav al titeinach, what does it mean? You shall appoint judges and officers in all of your gates, which is your cities that Hashem your God gives you. Lishvatacha, so it's going back to titeinacha. Shoftim v'shotim titeinecha lishvatecha v'chol sharecha asher Hashem Elokecha nosenach. Rashi is telling you how to read the pasuk. Judges and officers you shall appoint for yourself for your tribes in each and every city that Hashem gives you. Okay, and lishvatecha. Furthermore, malamit shemoshivin dayanin l'chol sheva v'shevet u'v'chol ir ba'ir. You don't just have one judge in the tribe of Zvulun and everybody goes to the tribe of Zvulun to be judged. They said about the chof yam. No, you have a judge in each and every shevet and in each and every city. So you should appoint dayanim who are well versed in the law and they are righteous and they know how to judge with righteousness. You shall not corrupt the judgment. So Rashi says here, kamashmo, like it means, lo sakir panim, you shall not show favoritism. Rashi says, even at the time that the litigants are preparing and presenting their argument, it's a warning to the dayan that he should not be soft with this one and harsh with this one. This one stands and this one sits. When the one who is being judged harshly, or his arguments are listened to harshly, we'll see that the other guy has favor with the judge, so he will block his arguments. He won't even know what to say. He'll be so overwhelmed by the favoritism that the judge shows the other party, he won't even be able to present his judgments properly. You should not take bribery, even to judge with righteousness. No bribery, not even to judge with righteousness. Why? Because bribery will blind. As she says, once he takes bribery, it is impossible that his heart will not be turned to judge him to the kafskos. It's not possible to remain impartial once there is bribery. If you take bribery, even to say the right judgment, something will end up being corrupt because you can't be objective anymore. Divrei tzadikim, we saw if divrei tzadikim, divarim hamitzudakim, mishpatei emes. Words that show what is righteous, words of mishpat emes, judgment of truth. So it will be very difficult to have a judgment of truth and words that exonerate the proper party, words that judge for the proper party, because once there is favoritism through bribery, the whole judgment will be corrupt. And finally, tzedek tirdof, you should go after a beis din yafa. Make sure the beis din that you go to is well-versed, is knowledgeable, is yashar, yafa, tzadikim, talmidei chachamim. Finally, the mantichya, so that you shall live and inherit the land. Rashi says, how important is this mitzvah to appoint judges and officers? Kedaihu minui hadayanim hakshayrim lahachayos es Yisrael l'shivan al admasam. It is so important to appoint kosher judges, proper judges who will judge properly, that in that tzchus alone, it will give a merit to Klai Yisrael to remain in their land and to dwell in their land. And that's how important it is to have proper judgment and officers when you come to the land of Israel. This is Moshe's an admonishment and warning to the people. However, there is a very Kabbalistic part on these psukim, which we have quoted in the past and which I am quoting again. Hey, and you may remember that it is very shy to Chodesh Elul. Keep in mind that we began, those are the opening three psukim of the pasuk of the parasha, with Rashi's, keeping in mind that we already pointed out that Rabbi Soloveitchik says that Shoftim is always read when we begin Chodesh Elul. And how does Shoftim begin? Shoftim v'shotim titeinecha b'chol she'arecha. Officers and judges you shall put by all your gates. So the Chida writes, I'm quoting from the Sefer Aleinu L'Shabech with Yitzchak Zilberstein. Actually, I just quote a different Sefer of his on Friday morning shiur. Hey, Avitzchak Zilberstein writes, teaches in Aleinu the Shabbech, the Chida writes, in the name of Rav Chaim Vital, who is a primary disciple of the Ari HaKodesh, that a person's body has a number of gates. The gate of vision, which is what you could see, Chush HaRe'iyah, the gate of hearing, Chush HaShmiyah, the gate of smell, the gate of speech, the gate of eating. In the verse, Shoftim v'shoshim titeinecha b'chol she'aracha, judges and officers who shall appoint over all of your gates. The Chida says that the Torah is teaching us to perform careful introspection regarding what goes in and out of the gates of our body. And that is why the Torah gives this command in the singular. It says, titein lecha. It doesn't say titein lochem, even though Moshe speaks to the nation. It doesn't say b'chol she'arechem. It's in the Lashon Yachid because it's speaking to each and every person. Every Jewish person individually is included in this obligation to guard their gates and what goes in. That means what we see, what we gaze upon, what we allow to come in, what we allow to go out, what we hear or what we don't hear, what we speak or what we do not speak. If a person is careful, continues Rabbi Zilberstein, to guard his gates, he does not look at forbidden sights. Quote, he does not listen to forbidden words or sounds. He does not smell forbidden scents or eat forbidden foods. He will merit measure for measure. The pasuk from Yeshayahu, Pischu she'arim ve'yavo goy tzadik she'omer munim. Open the gate so the righteous nation, the keeper of the faith, may enter. Even if it was just Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos and Sunday were Rosh Chodesh. Pischu li sha'arei tzedek. So Rav Zilberstein doesn't quote this pasuk. He quotes a different pasuk from Yeshayahu, Chavav, that refers to Hashem opening the gates for the tzaddikim. But we do have a pasuk in Tehillim. Halal is kufyad gimel through kufyad chas. We just recited Halal the past 2 days. Pischu li sha'arei tzedek. Oh, ties in exactly. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, leman tichya, v'shaftu es am mishpat tzedek, pishchu li sha'arei tzedek. Hashem will open the gates of righteousness when we are careful to make sure that what goes, pishchu li sha'arei tzedek, I mean mamash, open up the gates of righteousness when we make sure that we look upon what we're supposed to look upon and look away from what we're not supposed to look upon, when we hear what we're supposed to hear and do not hear what we're not supposed to hear, when we speak how we are supposed to speak, and do not speak how we are not supposed to speak, then measure for measure, Hashem will open up, avova, He will open up for us the gates of righteousness, we will be able to come through them. Continues the Chida, in the name of Rav Chaim Vital, the gates of 310 worlds will be opened for him, writes Rav Chaim Vital, and when his soul returns to its source, after 120, all the gates will open before, and Rav Zilberstein points out that the Shlach HaKodesh writes this as well. Okay. Rav Zilberstein adds one more thing. I would like to humbly add, says Rav Zilberstein, that the word l'shvatacha, okay, shoftim v'shochim titein l'chol, we already spoke about the Lashon Yachid, we spoke about judges and officers, each person shall appoint for themselves. This is the first parsha read in Eloh, on a better musar for a beginning chodesh Eloh, than being aware of how we speak, when we speak, to whom we speak, how we listen, to what we listen, when we listen, how we see what we see. You know, Lashon Hara could be transmitted also through sight, with body language, with certain emojis that we type. We can convey a very negative and derogative message about someone. You could say, I didn't say anything. If you go back to Parshas Kedosh and Perek Yotes, Lo Seideich Vechil Bamecha, if you remember, Rashi quotes Targum Unkos, and Targum Unkos says there, as quoted by Rashi, it's the meal of winking. Don't be at the meal of winkers. So I didn't say anything. Somebody came into the room, I just looked at my friend, and I winked, I rolled my eyes. That's Lashon Hara. You just conveyed something negative about somebody else through sight. You didn't say anything. You didn't hear anything, but you saw a negative expression. You saw something negative being done. So you see that each of these gates that we must guard relates exactly to this idea of Shmiras HaLashon in its most broad sense, inclusive sense. Rav Zilberstein adds as follows. I would like to humbly add that the word l'shvatecha for your tribes, k'shotim v'chotim titein necha b'chol she'arecha, asher Hashem akecha nosei necha l'shvatecha, we already saw the pshat of Rashi at how to read the pasuk, right? The word sheva is also used as an allusion for staff or rod or hardship. Shiftachal Mashan Techa Himi Nachmunu. We say by Shal Shudas, Baruch of Gimel of Tehillim. We sing it by Shal Shudas every week. Your rod and your staff will come from you. So this is Shavat Techa, is not only the tribes, but it's also a staff, which indicates a harshness or a punishment. So as Rav Zilberstein, when a person experiences hardships, he has to appoint judges and officers for himself to determine, to do a cheshbon nefesh, to look at his actions, to determine what sin perhaps, what mistake, what error prompted these hardships. And in this way, he can come to rectify, repair, can be osek in teshuvah, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will take him back. I'm now quoting from Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav Zatzal. I have so much material. Okay. Rav Salvechik says, interesting, you saw the Pesukim, Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof. The third Pasuk that we looked at, Pasukhaf, was Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, Laman, Tichya, the Yerashta, Esarat, Asher, Hashem, Elkecha, Nosinach. We saw Rashi, as he says, the appointment of kosher judges is enough of Zchus to keep Klai Yisrael settled on their land. So Tzedek, Tzedek, the conclusion of these three Pesukim tells you, Laman, Tichya, so that you shall live. If you appoint judges and officers for yourself, you will live. I'm quoting Rabbi Salvechik. He quotes the Ramban. The Ramban, Nachmanides, quotes Sefer HaBahir, which interprets this phrase as follows. If you judge yourself, you shall live. And if not, he will judge you against your will. Again, and we're coming up to what we call the Yom HaDin. That's what we're counting down now to. Today's base, we're counting down to Yom HaDin. If you judge yourself, you shall live. And if not, says the Ramban, quoting Sefer HaBahir, he will judge you against your will. Rav Salvechik also gives a shot of how this Shoftim V'Shochim Titein Necha Laman Tichya fits into Elul, slightly different than Rav Chaim Vital's quoted by the Chidah. We are required to judge ourselves, says the Rav, quote, i.e., I'm quoting, engage in introspection. Each of us must split himself into two persona. We must be both the judge and the defendant. As the Pasuk says, Shoftim V'Shochim Titeinecha B'chol Sha'arecha. What does this mean for us in Chodesh Elul? We must set up judges at each of our gates, which is exactly what Chaim Vital says, but the Rav Darshan is a little different. What does it mean to set up a judge and an officer? You saw that the officer stands with the makel and meretzua, the staff and the strap. You must set up a judge and an officer at each gate. Quote, quote, close off all escape routes for yourself. Close off all rationales which stop us from genuine introspection. Set up a judge and an officer at the escape routes of your machshava, at the escape routes of your life, at the escape routes of rationalizing the sin. I know I spoke Lashon Hara about X, Y, and Z. I know I was impatient when my kid was having a tantrum for 2 hours, so what did you expect? Of course I screamed at him and I said to him, what's wrong with you? You must close off all of your gates. You must set up judges and officers. Close off all escape routes. All rationale which stop us from genuine introspection. This is not the time to be melamed zchus upon ourselves. This is the time to really stop and take stock of how I behaved this past year, of what I said, of what I saw, of what I listened to, a chas v'shamah, a movie I watched that I shouldn't have watched, that had things on there that no yid should be seeing, a book I read perhaps that I should not have read, that had things described that no yid should be reading, that what conversations I had. Who could remember all the conversations we had over the past year? It's mamash a very, very frightening thought. This parsha, says Rav Salvechik, is generally the first one read in the month of Elul. Why? Because before the Yamim No Ra'im, says Rav Salvechik, one must approach himself as an objective observer. Set up judges and officers. Close off your gates. This is not the time to cop an achid and say, "Bamemela ribona sha'olam dagas ha'parnasa," and give a rationale for why you sinned. It's a time to be honest. That's a quote from the Rav from a different sefer. We must provide an honest self-assessment. So his pshat is a little bit differently. Shochum v'shochum shoftim v'shochum titeinecha b'chol sharecha laman tichya. If you want to live, if you want to lamancha elokim chayim kasveinu b'sefer chayim, if you want to kasiv v'chasim atova, the path to chayim laman tichya. So that you shall live is to be honest with yourself, to be righteous with yourself, to be the accuser and the defendant at the same time, but close off all escape routes, all rationales which cause us to rationalize the sin before God and before ourselves. This is not the time for that. I now go to a sefer called Days of Awe, Days of Joy. Beautiful sefer, okay? Published by Torah Web. I'm going to quote from an essay by the great Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. Zatzal. It's different essays from different rabbanim and teachers. Rav Hershel Schachter, Rabbi Dr. Tversky, Vadel Chaim Tovim Veruchim, Rav Hershel Schachter, Rav Sobolovsky, Rav Mordechai Willett, Rav Meir Tversky, I'm just looking at the front cover, Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, etc. Rabbi Yudin, so it's different rabbanim. It's beautiful, short essays. Okay. So when I was preparing the shiur, I went to get the sefer, and it's divided into sections called Aleph, then Rosh Hashanah, there's 12 essays on Eloh, and many more on Rosh Hashanah, Seres Yemei Teshuva, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. Okay, so I went to the Eloh section. Oh, and listen to this. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky. And this essay is called Interpersonal Teshuva. Okay, so you've already had two pshatim into what it means, shoftim v'shochim titenecha. The pshat means, by the way, they have to set up judges and officers in every city in the land to which you are going. Oh my gosh, one second, please. Sorry, I forgot to turn on the AC. But I only realized once I started teaching that I forgot to turn on the AC. Okay, interpersonal teshuva. So we've already had two pshatim and went to what it means. Shoftim v'shochim titenecha, beyond the pshat. Right, one from Rav Chaim Vital / the Chida, that it means you should guard your gates. What you see, what you hear, what you speak, what you smell. Salvation has a slightly different pshat, and his is put up officers and judges. Do not let out rationales when you come to do a serious introspection, when you come to say a vidui, when you come to a repent before the Ribbono Shel Olam, you shouldn't be melamed zchus upon yourself. Close off all escape routes that allow you to escape from the sin, and be honest. See what your sin really was and do teshuva. Interpersonal teshuva, the great Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky. The season of heightened teshuva is before us. The daily sounding of the shofar in the month of Eloh, the early morning slichos, Rosh Hashanah, the 10 days of repentance, culminated in Yom Kippur, the day of forgiveness. It is of interest that Yom Kippur is generally translated as the day of atonement rather than the day of forgiveness, although the term kapara usually refers to forgiveness. It is unknown who coined the term, the Day of Atonement, but perhaps there is something to be learned from it. In contrast to forgiveness, atonement connotes making restitution and compensation. Forgiveness is, I grant you forgiveness, hopefully. You grant me forgiveness, more hopefully. However, atonement connotes something else, making restitution and compensation. This concept, listen carefully. So he says Yom Kippur is generally seen as a day of atonement, not a day of forgiveness. And now he's going to differentiate between Ben Adam and Makom and Ben Adam and Chaver, which is very important for our Shir series. When we talk about a day of forgiveness, that would be between man and God. Hashem is quick to forgive. If you do real teshuvah, the stages of the Rambam, which I'll address in a different Shir at some point during Chodesh El Bezos Hashem, Hashem is quick to forgive. Hashem wants, Ad Yom Moso, Techakol, Oki, Meshuvah, V'darko, V'chaya. Hashem's waiting for us. That's a day of forgiveness. Yom Kippur is translated or explained as a day of atonement. Atonement is not really relevant to sins of Bein Adam L'Makom, between man and God, because we cause Hashem no harm when we sin. Like the Pasuk says in Eov, were you to have transgressed, how would you have affected him? Eov, Paraklamet Hay. And if your rebellions were numerous, what would you have done to him? We don't hurt God when we sin. We hurt ourselves. If I eat chametz, not a Pesach bagel, real chametz, not kinwa sushi. Okay, sushi's not, that's rice. I don't know, wheat sushi. They came up with wheat sushi and I ate it on Pesach. I'm not hurting Hashem, I'm hurting myself. I'm hurting my own neshama. So when I do teshuvah, I don't need atonement from God, I need forgiveness. And if I do real teshuvah, and I'm never going to eat it again on Pesach, and I'm always going to take the Arba Minim, and never going to transgress Shabbos, I haven't hurt God. So he's quick to forgive. We say that Hashem is Chanun Hamarba V'Sloach. He is gracious. He is of abundant forgiveness. Hashem's mercy is infinite. His forgiveness is abundant. But that's for sins Bein Adam L'Makom. If one has sinned against another person, Hashem does not forgive those sins until one has appeased the one whom you have offended. The Chassam Sofer said, quote, I am worried much more about sins ben adma chavero than ben adam lamakom. I trust Hashem's forgiveness, but I cannot be sure about people. So for there to be forgiveness on Yom Kippur, which is this period begins now, Rosh Chodesh Elul, it takes us through the 40 days. And Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Salachti kedvaracha. For there to be forgiveness on Yom Kippur, there must be atonement, restitution, ben adam lechaveiro. And that's not always easy to achieve. Ironically, the easiest thing is if you're a ganef. Because if you're a ganef, and he uses the word ganef, and that translates in brackets thief, if you stole something, because then all that is required is you make a monetary compensation. It is much more difficult. Listen to the next line. I really, Esti kind of did not remember what the essay was, so this is not one of those examples of, whoa, you know, I read, even though in Parsha class we have one next week, tomorrow. But I didn't remember what the essay was. I just took out the safe when I was preparing the shir because I felt I had to address Elul. But it's also Shemir Salashim class where we already went through the Chidah and we understand how it relates to what we speak. But listen to his next sentence. Quote, I'm not making this up. It is much more difficult if you maligned someone by speaking disparagingly of him. That's the first example he gives. Abein Adam Mechaveru sins, that is very hard to attain forgiveness. It's easier if you're a ganef, because then you could go back and you could say, I give you back your money. It is much more, next sentence, it is much more difficult if you malign someone by speaking disparagingly of him. Here you may be in a quandary, because if you were to ask the person to forgive you for having spoken badly about him, you may cause him further pain. I wonder what he said about me. I wonder who he said it to. I recently, a couple months ago, someone came to me. I had to ask Rabbi Shai Shechter or Shaila on her behalf, without giving any details. And Rabbi Shai Shechter said, and it's a very big machokas of the poskim, if you spoke Lashon Hara about somebody, okay, what gives you the right, if they don't know, if no harm came to them? You want to cleanse your soul. You want to feel better. You're going to the Yemei Hadin. You know what you said. She doesn't know what you said. It's a big machokas if you are allowed to even ask mechila. It just puts us in a very difficult situation. If you're not allowed to ask mechila, what's the problem? How are you going to get through the forgiveness by going through a day of atonement? There's no atonement. She hasn't given you atonement. But it's not so poshut that you're even allowed to ask for mechila. If harm came to her, that's a different matzav. If nothing happened to her, she doesn't know you spoke the Lashon Hara. You just want to feel better about yourself. You want to have a cleansing. You're going to cause her pain. It's not poshut that you're allowed to ask mechila. Shai Sheikh said it's a big sugya, it's a big inyan. So he said, the Rav Asher Weiss says, does that mean a person can never ask mechila? So you see how grievous the sin of Lashon Hara is, that even the atonement from it is so complicated. If you ask the person, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, to forgive you for having spoken badly about him, you may now cause him to agonize. You're causing more pain than the original words. I wonder what he said. I wonder who he spoke to. Rabbi Shaul Salanter said, in this case, I'm quoting Rabbi Dr. Twersky, it is better not to tell the person you spoke badly about him. Hence, there is no way to ask for forgiveness. In addition, if you spread a false rumor about him, which is a motzi shema, which is another form of sins of speech, halacha does not require that he forgive you. Now, these are the first examples Rabbi Dr. Twersky gives about this idea of how we're going to achieve atonement during this time period. Speech. So it's not so partial that you could ask him a mechila for your lashon hara. Now, if you're in a specific situation, don't reach out to me. I am not a rav. Consult your rav. But you should just know that if you harm somebody with words, they don't know about it, you're going to cause them more harm. So it's not so clear you could ask mechila. You have to go ask a rav what you should do. In this situation that I went to Rabbi Shechter for, it's actually a very, very complicated situation. He actually took the shayla to his father, Rav Hirshel Shechter Shlita, and it's a very difficult matzav. Okay, the power of words is frightening, and you can't always ask mechila. Furthermore, if you spoke badly about him, there's no way to ask forgiveness. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, in addition, next, if you spread a false rumor, halacha does not require that he forgive you. Whereas one can make restitution by returning money. Now he moves into a different example, but he began with Inyan Shemir Salashan. Whereas one can make restitution by returning money one stole. So if you're a ganef and you stole $10, $100, $1,000, you go give it back to him and give him back his money. There is no way of making restitution if you stole someone's time. says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, this is not even something we might think about. You promised to meet someone at a certain time. You kept him waiting for 20 minutes. You stole 20 minutes of time. Quote, this is a commodity which cannot be replaced. How are you going to make it up? We went through, over the course of two or three classes, I can't believe how much this essay ties in exactly to our shiur. Very recently, based on a piece of Victor Miller, Conscious, we went through over the span of two or three classes in Yanei Shmir Salashim in the home. I hope you remember. If not, go back and listen to Wayu Torah, please. Okay, how we treat the people in our home through speech. Next, the next example, Rabbi Dr. Tversky. Perhaps you mistreated your child with improper discipline. You might have come from home work. You might have come home from work. You had a very difficult day. You were very irritable. You were unjustly harsh in your interaction with your child. That is an offense against another person which requires forgiveness. However, inasmuch as a child under Bar Bas Mitzvah is legally incompetent, he cannot grant forgiveness. And Yom Kippur doesn't erase the sin. So you yelled at the kid. You came home, you were impatient, he was impatient, you were tired, you asked for help with homework, you need to put up the supper, whatever. You're tired, you have a headache, and you screamed at the child, which is a form of being over on Shemir Salashim. We spoke about Rav Walby, I believe. I quote Binyan Uzriya Bechinyach, a light spanking is better not to go around hitting your children, please, than screaming. But now the child's only 10 or 11. It certainly made a very big impression. They were very insulted. They were very hurt. They're not of the age to grab mechila. They can't grab mechila. So what are you going to do? Very, very serious. So far, three of his examples have been about Inyani Dibur. Actually, four. One, Lashon Hara. Two, false rumors. Three was about stealing time. Four was about between parent and child. Next. Ben Adam Echaber applies to husbands and wives vis-a-vis one another. An abusive spouse, there's emotional, God forbid, abuse. Mishpacha just had a piece a few weeks ago on religious abuse. There's verbal abuse, emotional abuse, psychological, physical, chalid, v'chas, rechman al-atzlan. Ben Adam Echaber applies to husbands and wives vis-a-vis one another. An abusive spouse incurs a sin when he or she mistreats one's partner. The aggrieved spouse may not forgive wholeheartedly. Suppose someone asked your advice and you told them what you thought would be best. Next example. But your advice was misguided. The person sustained a substantial loss because of advice. Even if your intentions were good, you caused them damage, for which you are just as responsible if you accidentally broke his window. So even if, is to give bad advice knowingly, but even if you give bad advice with good intentions, Lamaisa, he was still hurt at the end of the day. The stipler Gaon, in the very last moments of his life, cried bitterly, I am afraid perhaps I may have given someone bad advice. These all have to do with the Chosh HaDibur, by the way. Almost all of them. I was just listening yesterday afternoon, early evening afternoon, I went for a fast talk, and I was listening to Shir Rabbi Zavlef, and it was on Miriam Sin of Lashon Hara. So it was a 40-minute Shir, but one of the things he said about Lashon Hara, which you could apply to many instances of being over on Inyanei Shmir Salashon. Let's say the person did not mean badly. Miriam did not mean badly. Okay, she didn't. She meant Latova. It was her brother. She loved him. She did not mean badly. But she was still punished. And one of the Sheish Zechiras, Zechar, Sashar, Salasham, Akechel, and Miriam, Derek would say, is from Mitzrayim. So he says, when I was a Rav in Miami, literally, that's how he begins the story, always smile. When I was a Rav in Miami, he said he got the shy. It was a plastic surgeon came to him, a doctor. And the doctor came with the following shy. Does he have to bench Gomel? Why does he want to know if he has to bench Gomel? Because this is what happened. His wife, it was back in the day, bleach came in a glass bottle. Okay? And the bottle fell and the top cracked. So she couldn't use the bottle anymore, but she wanted to save the bleach. She was cleaning the kitchen. It was an empty Coke bottle. So she put the bleach into the empty soda bottle. She left it on the counter. She went out of the kitchen to do something else. A child came into the kitchen. He saw the empty soda bottle. He saw the soda bottle on the counter with liquid. He wanted to do a favor for his mother. And he put the bleach in the fridge. The father comes home from a long day at the office. He's a physician. He wants to take a drink. He puts his hand in the fridge. He takes out the first drink that he sees, which is the empty soda bottle with bleach. He starts to drink it, and right away he realizes this is not soda, it's bleach. So he comes to Rav Zavlev, and he says, do I have to bench Goma? So Rav Zavlev says, the psak isn't relevant for this year, but since people are curious, I will tell you, said Rav Zavlev, he does not have to bench Goma. You bench Goma if you were, Rav Zavlev says, if you're in a matzav and you were saved from it. For example, he said, if he would have drunk the bleach, the whole bottle of bleach, and somehow, by a miracle, his insides were not burned up and he survived, then he would have to bench Goma. But when he put it to his lips, he realized that it was bleach, not soda. He didn't drink it, so he doesn't bench Goma. If you're in a dangerous matzav, not if you miss the matzav, okay, that's the psak. Rabbi Zevlov is using an example. He was speaking about Lashon Hara. He said, Miriam did not mean badly, but she was still punished. Why was she punished? He said, because in this case with the bleach, nobody meant to kill anyone else and no one meant to commit suicide. The wife did not mean to kill her husband. The child, the wife was trying to clean the kitchen. The child did not mean to kill the father. He was trying to do the mother a favor. And the father, the physician, was not trying to commit suicide. He was thirsty, he wanted to take a drink. Everyone's intentions were good. But if he would have drunk bleach, he still would have died. Unless by some nes, min ha-shamayim, he would have been saved. He would have drank a whole container of bleach. His inside, he says, his kishkas would have been burnt. Oh, but he meant well. Okay, but you drank the bleach. I mean, Zev said, that's Lashon Hara, even if it's when it means well. Miriam meant well. She only spoke to her brother. She meant well. If you drink bleach, the person's going to die. Whether they mean well or they don't mean well. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky says, you gave bad advice. Your intentions may have been good. You inadvertently caused damage. You're just as responsible if you accidentally broke his window. The Steifelgon in the very last minutes of his life cried bitterly, I'm afraid perhaps I may have given someone bad advice. What can we do in these situations when restitution is not feasible? You spoke Lashon Hara about somebody, but you're not allowed to ask Mechila. I'm telling you, I mamish had this about two and a half months ago. I asked Rabbi Shai Shechter on behalf of this person, and he said it's not possible. She cannot necessarily ask Mechila. Rabbi Dr. Twersky writes this. You spoke Lashon Hara. You know you spoke it. You can't ask Mechila, so they can't grant you the atonement. You are motzi shema. They're not even required by halacha to forgive you. You screamed at your child when it was inappropriate. The child's not of age to grant atonement. He could say, I forgive you, but he's not halachically chayav yet, so he can't forgive you. You were impatient with your spouse. Obviously, God forbid extreme forms. Any form of abuse is a whole different matzav. In a normal marriage, in a healthy marriage, it happens sometimes. You spoke not nicely. You were rude. You were impatient. You snapped. You spoke not nicely. What should you do in these situations? You stole someone's time. You can't give them back 20 minutes. You could give them $20. You can't give them 20 minutes. So you might have situations where you cannot have atonement. If you don't have atonement, there's no day of forgiveness. God forgives you. You did teshuva. You're not going to keep Shabbos. And you meet it. And you do it. And you learn about it. And you're not going to eat real bagels, not Pesach bagels. You're not going to eat real bagels anymore on Pesach. You mean it. You keep it. So Hashem forgives. What should you do? So sorry, Dr. Twersky, what can we do in these situations when restitution is not possible? One of the students of the Vilna Gaon felt he had offended someone by sarcastically rejecting the latter's explanation of a difficult Talmudic passage. He went from shul to shul throughout Vilna looking for the man to ask forgiveness. He could not find him and he was heartbroken. The Gaon told him, if you have truly done everything within your power to ask forgiveness, you can be sure Hashem will put it in that man's heart to forgive you. That is the solution for those incidents for which one cannot atone. If one makes serious effort to make restitution, and when you can appease the offended person, then Hashem will put it in their hearts to forgive. But one must be thorough in making restitution and asking forgiveness when possible. And that includes, and the last line, Mamish made me smile just because of the Shkacha. We spent, I think, 3 classes on the Kunches of Rabbi Gdil Miller and in Yonish Mirsashim in the house, Shalom Bayis. Quote, Rabbi Dr. Twersky ends with, that includes your spouse and your children, if and when you have offended them. Because only then will one merit Hashem's intervention on one's behalf. I'm quoting from the next sefer I'm quoting from is the biography, Reaching for Heaven, Rabbi Yaakov Edelstein. It's beautiful. It's actually written by Rabbi Yedidya Meir and his wife, Sivan Rechav Meir. I think she's more famous than her husband. It's Reaching for Heaven, the biography of Rabbi Yaakov Edelstein. Yibado L'chaim Tovim V'ruchim of Gershon Shlita, the Gedolei Hador today, is his brother. Okay, So he was the Rav of Ramat HaSharon in Eretz Yisrael. It's beautiful. If you're looking for some kosher, inspiring, interesting reading, it's well written. It's Artsgra. It's well written and it's very, very inspiring. So I'm quoting from this biography. 1 second. Here we go. It is told that Rav Yisrael Salanter once said when he was young, he wanted to fix the whole world. When he realized how hard this would be, he decided he would fix only the people in his country. Then he thought he could at least fix the inhabitants of his city. When he failed at that, he tried to fix his family. Finally, he realized he needed to first and foremost fix himself. While working on himself, he realized by this way you could affect your family, and then your city, and then your country and the world at large. Says Rav Yaakov Edelstein Zatzal, Tikkun Ha'olam, rectifying the world, starts with Tikkun Atzmi, rectifying myself. It's such an important lesson for Elul. It's Elul. You care what the menu is in the yeshiva? Who can think about food during Elul? I don't think you should go around starving yourself. I'm not planning to. But our focus has to be, what did I do? How can I improve? Who can I ask mechila from? What speech did I say that I can have forgiveness for? Rachman al-Tzlan, what speech did I say that maybe I can't even ask forgiveness for? And then I just have to daven and do true teshuvah and pray that God puts into that person's heart to grant me mechila. It's very frightening. There's a sense of pachad in Elul. Aryeh sha'ag, the lion roars, mi lo yirah, who will not be afraid? Tikkun olam, rectifying the world, starts with tikkun atzmi. Repairing, rectifying, shoftim v'shoshin titein l'cha, v'chol sha'arecha. Asher Hashem elkecha nosei necha lishvatecha, v'shavtu ha'am mishvat tzedek. Judge yourself. What goes in here? What comes out of here? What goes in here? Our ambition is to reach everyone, but the basis of self-improvement is for each and every person. I will tell you a story that I heard from my father when I was a child. It's such a beautiful book. I highly recommend it. It's called Reaching for Heaven, the Elevating Life Stories and Teachings of Rav Yaakov Edelstein. If you have any, you want to know where I'm quoting from, it's page 268 to 269. As people reach out to me online, where are you quoting from? So I'm telling you. I will tell a story that I heard from my father when I was a child. And this is a beautiful end and a very appropriate end. This very important shir. On Yom Kippur, as a boy in Russia, he writes about his father. He was sitting in shul, okay, and he noticed the Jew crying as he davened with obvious devekus. Then came the time to pray Ne'ilah, the climax of the holy day. It's the climax of these 40 days. During the afternoon break between tefillos, the men would rest in shul. And for this purpose, they bought straw, which they would spread on the cold floor. Right, this going back to Europe, Arasha. During the Ilah, one boy absentmindedly nudged the straw towards a certain Jew. The man took 3 steps back when he finished Shmona Esrei, and he slipped on the straw. The man started yelling and shrieking, I'm quoting. The man started yelling and shrieking at the boy, and he didn't calm down until he slapped the child in front of everyone. Says Rabbi Yaakov Edelstein Zatzal, the man just crowned the Kodesh Baruch Hu king over the entire universe. He just prayed, Meloch al kol ha'olam, Meloch al kol ha'olam, kula b'kvodecha. Reign over the entire universe in your glory. But he forgot the most important principle of all. He must make himself king over himself. He must control his own inclinations. That was the story Abba told us, with the hope that we would get the message. One more vignette. On Erev Yom Kippur, Rav Edelstein once said to one of his Talmidim, Teshuvah is a positive commandment. Someone asked you the theme of Elul. I think you're all going to answer Teshuvah with everything it encompasses. Teshuvah Yisrael al Hashem Elokecha ki kashalta Abba v'necha. We shouldn't think only wicked people, said Rav Yaakov Edelstein, are obligated to do it. It is a mitzvah incumbent on every single person. Shoftim v'shoshim titein lecha. I should point to myself. B'chol sha'aracha. Asher Hashem halakecha nosei necha lishvatecha. V'shavtu ha'am mishvat tzedek. Lashon Yachid. Teshuva, says Rav Yaakov Edelstein, is a positive commandment. We shouldn't think only Rasha'im, wicked people, are obligated. It is a mitzvah incumbent upon every single person. They say in the name of the Imrei Emes that when we were given a mitzvah that is so important, teshuva, and that those who are not observing grab it from us. That is incorrect. We are all obligated to do teshuva. Every single person. So a lot to think about. I actually did not finish everything that I prepared. So maybe next time, Be'ezer Hashem, because it will still be Allah. But a lot to think about, a lot of food for thought. Halavai, the Ribbono Shel Olam should help us that a word should always be correct in the first place. That if we can make restitution, ask forgiveness, we do. If we can, we should learn for the next time and pray that the Ribbono Shel Olam put into that person's heart to grant us mechila, so that the Day of Atonement truly becomes a day of forgiveness as we move through this awesome time period of Chodesh Elul. Zeichon Le'ilui Nishmasam, Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoav Achana Lav Hashem, and Zev Wolf Ben Yishai Lav Hashem. I thank everyone for joining. I wish everybody a wonderful day, and again, Chodesh, and a meaningful Chodesh, and Be'ezer Hashem, a Kasiva, V'sich Rasi Matova, Tzedek Tzedek Tirdov, Leman Tichya. Thank you so much, everybody. Besoros Tovos, Kol Tov. Thank you.